Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to another episode of Rachel Uncensored. I am here with our first... Stop licking yourself, please, Joy. You need to stop yourself. This is the first episode in which I have a repeat guest. But also we have a special guest, Blaze, is in between us. But my best friend Joy is here.
Woo-hoo.
You need to get closer to the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
You gotta be in it.
I'll bring it to me.
Okay. Perfect. Beauty. All right.
Ah.
So, welcome to another episode of Rachel Uncensored, a show where we talk about whatever we want and we drink a drink that reminds me of the human. But we already had our drink that reminds me of you, which was cranberry juice and vodka. So I asked you what drink you wanted to drink today, and you chose a Moscow Mule. Now, I don't have copper mugs, so don't come for me.
Cheers.
Cheers. I don't really do Moscow Mules much. Because I don't do sugar with my thing. Did you like that or not?
I liked it.
Okay, good.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Is it really sugary?
The ginger beer has sugar in it.
Well, yeah, but I feel like ginger beer doesn't taste very sweet. The ginger to me is like more spicy.
It is not. It tastes spicy. It tastes spicy. But I'm saying like there is sugar in ginger beer. Usually when I drink alcohol, I stray away from the sugar.
It makes you like sicker. Your stomach hurts.
Yes, yeah, so and then I get a hangover.
Yeah, a lot of people. That happens too.
Mm.
Moscow Mule is probably one of the only, like, I put a lot in there.
That is very spicy. It's very spicy. All right. So we've already done the introduction of who you are. So I'm just gonna make a statement and we can go from there.
Yeah.
You ready? Yes. Have no idea what the statement is.
No, but I feel like you've been thinking about it.
I have.
Okay.
Here's the statement. So you're black.
I thought you were going to say something about dogs.
No.
Yeah.
I went with race this time.
Yeah. I do have black in me.
I only say this so that we can tell the internet to shove it up your ass.
All the way. You can tuck it real small or keep it real big, whichever you
whatever
go for, and shove it up there.
Just shove it straight up to where the sun don't shine. Because I just want to speak on... You've sent me multiple screenshots.
Yeah, and it's been surprising. Not that I feel like anybody should just, I mean, look at somebody and be like, oh, of course they're black or of course they're white or whatever, you mm-hmm. know. But I mean, there's a lot of controversy around hairstyles and stuff like that. So it's although it's not shocking, like it's not something that I haven't seen happen or heard about before, I guess I never expected it to happen to me.
So Joy does not have what you had, box braids in, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, box braids, like I had a couple different hairstyles.
Yes. But this last round of, you do stuff with your hair every once in a while and then you go back to just your normal.
Which just to put out there too, it was the first time the internet had seen me with box braids.
Yes.
I've been doing them for quite a while now.
So... You had box braids in a couple weeks ago and people were DMing you asking basically for your black card.
Yeah.
To make sure that you were allowed to have box braids.
Or just straight up accuse me of blackfishing.
For real?
Yeah. Somebody straight up on one of your posts like was like, oh my God, Joy, blackfishing? Really? But then somebody else responded and was like, Joy's black. So,
yeah. You know. So I just want to touch on, shut up. Just.
Shut up.
Shut up, because this is something you've had to deal with for a while.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot throughout my life, like, and I think it would be surprising probably to some people to hear that it's not just from one specific demographic or, like, mm-hmm. just men or just women or just a certain race or whatever. I think it's because I am mixed race and it is really hard to tell what I am just by looking at me. But I mean, I get it from all ends, you know, like growing up, I was either not white enough for the white kids or not black enough for, you know, for the black kids. I was whitewashed or whatever, you know, like, so it's defending myself, I guess you could say, has been like a second nature kind of thing for me. But I deal with it in a way where I just kind of like don't say anything. And I also...
Well, you shouldn't have to.
No, you should. I don't think you should have to. I mean, if I had done something, like, wrong or said something that I shouldn't have said, like, obviously I'm gonna, like, I would have to say something about that. But I don't know. It just really surprised me how many people were upset about a hairstyle.
Yes, and that's because that's a thing going on right now is white people aren't allowed to do cornrows.
Yeah.
And so I feel like people are now patrolling and making sure, you know, that doesn't. And so they're trying to be like woke and PC and, you know, be like.
Which here's my take on it, like personally, and I don't mean this to disrespect anybody that doesn't believe the way that I believe. Just want to put that out there. But I feel like if we're allowing ourselves to get so worked up over something as small as a hairstyle, then we might need to start really evaluating the priorities in our life, because there are so many bigger things to worry about, you know? And then not only that, I think if I were to see, if I believed in something and I wore it, or, you know, tattoos or whatever, you know, and I saw somebody else wanting to go out and kind of mimic that, I guess I would take that more as not just a compliment, but also like happy that other people are interested in like what I'm in, like showing support, I guess you could say. And yeah, there's also a huge controversy too around, you know, where they do they know where it comes from and why they're like, you know, black people have their hair that way and stuff like that. But I think, again, personally for me, it just goes back to the point of, you know, it being a hairstyle, and it's braids, you know, like a lot of people just.
I'm going to say, don't cancel me, internet. When I was a child, my sister would give me cornrows every summer so I wouldn't have to wash my hair, because I would just go in the ocean every day.
Yeah.
And I did that. I put the pictures out there because back then, as a child, I just...
Think of them as braids.
Yeah, it was braids. And my older sister was just giving me braids. And then I looked dumb. We're not going to lie about it. I looked... dumb, but I didn't think anything of it. I would never do cornrows now, just because it does offend people.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to offend people, so I won't wear them now. But also, I'm going to say, people think I was going to hang out with someone who was doing box braids that wasn't black.
Yeah.
Like, okay, one, okay, maybe someone couldn't tell your race.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were when I met you. Yeah. I also didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. I was going to say too, which is like crazy. My whole life, ever since I was a little kid, I remember being super young and even having different people ask me all the time what my ethnicity was. I would get stopped a lot. I still do to this day. And for the longest time, I didn't know. I even got pulled over one time, and one of the first questions the cop asked me was what my ethnicity was, which was like so weird. And I told
him. That's weird.
Yeah, and I told him, I said, because, you know, he asked me if I had any identifying tattoos. Like, he was being weird. Yeah. And then asked me what my race was. And I looked at him, because at the time I didn't know. And I was like, I don't know. And he was, well, you have to know what your race is, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't know. Well, how could you not know your own race? And I said, I'm adopted. And then he's like, oh, you know? And I was like, yeah. So, you know, I had to do ancestry.com when I was like in my 20s to figure out what my nationality was. And I finally had the answer to this question that for some reason everybody wanted to know.
Everyone's itching to know.
And I used to tell people when they'd ask me what my race was, I'd just go, what do you think it is? And they'd just make up crazy things, some things I've never even heard of. And then I go, oh my God, how'd you know? I just was like, whatever people
wanted me to be. I have a friend, Jenna, who is white and wants to be anything but white because she thinks white people are super lame and she hates them. And she's so, but she doesn't try to like be anything. She
right.
Everyone thinks she's like Armenian or something.
Okay.
And so every time someone asks her, like, what are you? She does the same thing. What do you think? And then they say, and she goes, uh-huh, that's my people. She calls everyone her people except white people. I don't know that.
Hey, I'm here for it. You know, whatever makes you happy.
And I'm like, I've met your parents. You're white. She's like, no.
Yeah.
You don't know. So I've met your family. You're white. She's like, don't disgrace me.
Yeah. So hopefully that puts an end to.
So yeah, stop asking my friend what her race is and to show her black card.
And I mean,
fuck you.
And to put it out there, I'm African American. I'm European. I'm
Native American. Yeah, you're Native American.
And then I'm Creole. And then I'm also
what the fuck is Creole?
It's like Portuguese, Spanish, kind of like, yeah,
spicy.
So yeah, so I got a little things,
all right, little things
mixed in there. I mean, I'm when you break it down, I'm a lot. Like it's crazy. It goes in deep into like what African tribes that I come from, and like, yeah, really interesting things. But yeah,
that's
fun. I'm a mix.
You are a mix.
Yeah, Mike, I know because I'm adopted. I know my grandmother was German. I mean, white lady, white hair, blue eyes, and my grandfather was black. Yeah. And then, yeah, which is interesting. That, it would have been interesting to know more of their story growing up in that time and everything. They have four kids. Yeah,
because a mixed race couple like No.
Yeah. They have four kids. And then my birth mom, we unfortunately don't know. I mean, it's probably fortunately. Who fucking knows? Sorry. But fortunately, unfortunately, it depends on how you take it. We don't know who my father is. So all that other stuff has to come from the other side. But I do know there's also like Creole and stuff like that in my mother side of my family too. So I mean, there's a lot of different stuff.
That's, you know? All right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I have no idea about myself, and everyone just says you're white, and I guess like, yep.
You should try. You should try it. A lot of people are surprised to see what they get back.
I'm like everybody's Italian, mixed of German, something. European.
Oh, you're white.
I'm white. I'm just white. I've got nothing in me but.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've come to terms with
my whole family's white. I love white people. It was funny, like when I was younger, all of my siblings when we were younger, there was at least one point I think with each kid where the teachers or the principal didn't think my parents were actually the parents to like the kids, like one of us. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because you just forget, I guess, adoption's a thing until somebody's like, I adopted them. Like,
okay.
My mom said she said she was trying to leave my sister's school, my younger sister who is full black, trying to leave the school one time, her and my dad with my sister, and literally got stopped because they thought that like it wasn't their kid.
They were stealing her?
Yeah.
Oh no.
You know, things happen.
I did read one thing where it was like it was a black kid had written, it was just like this young black man, he was like, I loved growing up adopted because my white mom wasn't allowed to whoop my ass in grocery stores because it would be a white lady beating up a little black boy.
That is so funny.
It's like, so I'd see my mom get angry and I'd be like, ha, 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 you can't do shit in public.
My mom wasn't physical, but she was all mental. That woman can put thoughts into your brain and make it.
That is a mom.
A reality.
Did your mom ever do the thing where she'd sit you down and go, I know what you did.
Oh.
Just to see if you'd admit to something.
To the point to where that's what's gotten me through life and getting people to. That's how I got my ex-boyfriend to admit he cheated on me. I literally just sat there and was like, I already know, so you might as well tell me. And finally, he just
told me all the shit that I didn't
even know. And I'm sitting there like. Yeah, I'm not even kidding you. It literally is like a toxic trait that I
have. Yeah, don't do it.
I know.
I know it's the so trick, bad. But I don't do the trick.
It's so bad.
Oh, my sister warned me. She was like, my sister warned me before. She is like 5 school years older than me. So yeah. When she left for college, I was still in 8th grade. I was like going into 8th grade. And she was like, just so you know, because I was a little mommy's girl growing up.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, just so you know, when you get into high school, you and mom aren't going to get along anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, why not?
At least your sister gave you the guidebook. My sister's like, good
luck. Oh, my sister gave me a guidebook. She was like, listen, mom is going to get weird. You're just going to have to deal with it. And if she ever says, do you have something you want to tell me? Never say anything. She doesn't know shit. If she knew, she would immediately start yelling at you for it.
Yep.
If she doesn't know, if no one says it, don't say it
first.
Don't
say anything.
And I was like,
I learned
okay.
After the first time my parents tried that on me, because I obviously unleashed everything that was on my guilt list.
Yes.
And then got my butt grounded. So after, I mean, I'm a fast learner. I'm adaptable. You know what I mean? It only takes me one time to fuck up to fix
same.
It. And then the worst part is that I'll come back around and play your game 10 times better than like you ever will. So that's, yeah, my mom and I were constantly like, Who's smarter? Like, it was not good.
What was your groundings like? Because I only got grounded once in high school.
I think I'm still grounded. The internet's not ready for these stories.
No, I was only grounded once, and it was because my mom called me
and
tried to pull some shit on me, and I was like, don't know what you're talking about. And she was like, You know what? I know you're up to something, so you have to come home after school. Or she like said something like that. I was like, what do you, I'm not up to, I'm in theater right now. I am in theater class. I have done nothing. I'm getting straight A's. I'm like, I'm not having sex. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not drinking. What do you think I'm doing? She was, I just know you are misbehaving and you need to come home after school. And I was like, you're being crazy.
Yeah.
And then my dad called me and was like, I heard that you were disrespectful to your mother. Therefore, you are grounded.
Oh, it's worse when they back each other up when they're both wrong. And you're like, just like,
I was like, what did you want me to do? Yes, mother. I'm not up to anything, but if you insist that I am, then sure, punish me for nothing.
Right.
What? I'm supposed to just let you punish me for literally nothing.
And now, like, watching all these, like, good, bad parenting TikToks, you know, you see how it, like, it does, it develops you into somebody where you're afraid to set boundaries, afraid to tell somebody when they're wrong.
Yes.
You know, you have that authority figure, like, issues, and it is true, you know, like, not saying mom, dad, maybe you didn't try in moments to, like, do your best, I guess, but, you know.
They were tired.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, times are different.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember, like, one of the first times I ever got grounded.
Well, I wanted to say, well, when I was grounded, I went home, and in my brain, I was, like, grounded.
Mm-hmm.
That means I couldn't have my phone. I couldn't see anybody, blah, blah, blah. And so my dad came in my room and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. And he's like, why aren't you hanging out with your friends? And I was like, because I'm grounded. He's like, are you going to go still go see your friends? And I was like,
okay. You're like just slowly.
Yeah, and I literally didn't say anything. And I was like, I have no idea.
Wow, your parents are the best punisher.
They're the worst.
They just mentally, and then they're like, you weirdo.
I still to this day don't know what my dad thinks grounding is, because I was allowed
maybe
to
they think
leave.
Grounding as a definition as of like mental, we grounded her, now she understands for next, she is grounded, she is a solid person.
They did take away my phone.
Oh.
But, like, they didn't take it away. I wasn't allowed to use it.
Do you remember, did you ever do the thing where when your parents took your phone away from you, you took the battery out so they couldn't turn it on and, like, go through your text? My sister and I would do that all the time. And then my mom and I get so, where's your battery? And we'd be like, we don't know.
That's a genius move. You can't do that now.
Can't do
iPhones.
It anymore. No, but you can put a passcode on and pretend like you don't remember.
Pretend like you don't remember. Like, a kid doesn't remember
it's
their
fucking passcode.
Deny
until they give up, right?
This is why your parents were exhausted.
So let me think, getting in trouble. Okay, so as a young kid, I know I just was like, it's gonna sound crazy, I was very shy. Okay. It was very like intimate, like tucked into myself. I'd go to friends' birthday parties and like hide in a corner and call my mom secretly and ask her to come pick me up. Like,
yeah.
I was one of those people that my friend would be like, oh, spend the night, and I'd be like, mom, when I call you and ask you, like, say no. Like, I just
that's
was like,
what I was, I'd text my mom, just say no, and then I'd call her, and then she was the best actress on the planet.
Oh, that's the thing. When my mom needed me, when I needed my mom in those ways,
they showed
up. Yeah, she was like, you know.
On point.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I was a pretty, like, easy kid because I was, like, so attached to my mom. But then I got into those teenage years and we really, like, had a rough patch. I didn't agree with, like, a lot of the things. That was the biggest issue. Like, you know, my mom was very tight on, like, we couldn't go hang out with friends. We literally couldn't do anything probably without a chaperone, like, no matter how old I was, which was, like, hard when you see all your friends getting to go hang out and stuff. And then the other thing, my mom being a foster mom and, like, just Santa Clarita, like, everybody in their God's mother's aunt's sister's wife knows who my mom is.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't do anything without it getting back to her. So even if it wasn't a big deal, somehow it was always a big deal. And I always felt like no matter what, like, I just couldn't get ahead. Like, I was just always getting in trouble. Like, I mean, we had friends everywhere. So if we went to the mall, and we weren't allowed to hang out with boys. So if we were at the mall and, like, I bumped into some of the guys from school or whatever, obviously they're going to hang out with us. Same thing with Six Flags or, like, whatever. It always got back to my mom. We always got grounded. And when we got grounded, it was literally, like, phones taken away. They took the door off of our room. Privacy is a privilege. They took the door off of our room. Sometimes, like, we only had a certain amount of, like, clothes to pick from. Like, it was, like, almost, like, military-style, like, punishment, you know? It was pretty harsh.
And it,
like,
didn't work, did it?
It made me very anxious and OCD.
And it made you become a better liar, I'm assuming.
Abso-freaking-lutely. And then And what was that? Oh, yeah. And then cleaning was like a big thing. Love you, Mom. But my mom is a hoarder. She's gotten a lot better. Lot better.
Same with my mom.
Yeah, lot better. But, you know, growing up too, I mean, that was always the one thing that I remember causing like arguments between them, was just the house being cluttered and like, you know, my whatever. And so I'm trying to remember where I was going with this.
As you remember, let's check to see if we have a sponsor today. Sponsor, sponsor.
Skims. Skims is our sponsor for today. Everyone knows that finding a perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. Whether it's too big, too small, the fit is weirdly cut, or the quality is severely lacking. Luckily, I found the perfect t-shirt, and it's at Skims. They have crop silhouettes for them femmes, to long sleeves layering tees, and there's styles for everyone. I've been wearing Skims for over a year now, and I absolutely love the quality of everything I've gotten. It's silky smooth, it fits well, and my girlfriend always steals them from me. I absolutely love the cotton jersey t-shirt they sent me. It fits like an absolute dream. I wear it all the time. And my girlfriend stole the Skims soft smoothing t-shirt because it's extremely flattering and she can wear it on casual errands or when she wants to dress up for the night. If you want to try them out, then shop Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes XXS to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that I sent you, that Rachel Uncensored sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
All right, on with your story.
Okay. So, yeah, so I would get grounded for, like, little things like that. But then, like you said, it made me a better liar. And one of the things I don't mind talking about, because I learned a lot from it, but I was also a very promiscuous kid.
Yeah.
And you know, that's like one of the reasons why I don't want a daughter, because I'm gonna be on her ass like white on rice. But I was also very promiscuous. So like,
but isn't that what your mom was doing to you?
Yeah.
And then so it's just gonna recycle. She's gonna keep repeating itself.
Yeah, but I don't mean on her ass like that. I mean on her ass like I would rather show, like, be there, but in a different way. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, so the more and more, too, she, like, really pushed me away from, like, boys and all this stuff, the more I went for it. So
what you should do, or training technique, not training
bring
technique.
Bring them over. Let me meet
them. Yeah, but, like, teach your daughter to love herself and not need the affirmation and attention from anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also
her up.
And then also making sure that you're building between like their younger years, especially building a comfortable place for them to come and talk to you about things, you know?
Yes.
So then what I really got in trouble for during high school was sneaking out. I started sneaking out a lot. I never partied. I hated parties. Parties were always getting shot down by the cops and things like that. Cops scared the crap out of me. I never went to parties. I went to my first party when I was like 18. I never drank. I was not a drinker. I never did drugs. I was too terrified to do any of that. I was raised very Christian, believed in, you know, if I said the cuss word, I was going to hell. Like, you know, but
same. I didn't cuss till I was 20.
Yeah. But I always snuck out and hung out with my friends, and she didn't. And one time when she caught me and she was like, where are you going? And I just straight up told her, I was like, I literally go my friend Mitchell at the time. I was like, I go to my best friend Mitchell's house. She knows the family and everything. I was like, I literally go to Mitchell's house and all of us get together because everybody gets to night swim and like watch movies together and stuff. And I never get to do that stuff, you know? And like, and she never believed me. It always had to be something more extravagant than that. And then it really hit hard. I ran away when I was 15 and I made it all the way to Las Vegas.
Stop. How?
I haven't talked about this in so
How did long. You make it to Vegas?
So there is this guy.
There's always guy.
So I'm the ringleader. As you can tell in my older years, I'm not very persuaded. I do the persuading, you know? So there's this guy that I had met.
How are we friends? I don't let people persuade me.
That's probably why, though. Because even though, like, you see Dylan and I, I'm definitely more dominant than Dylan is. But, like, I guess everybody who's pretty dominant also needs that one other friend that, like, you don't have to put that effort into, you know?
I don't think you and I make each other do anything. Ever.
We don't even get competitive like that.
No.
No.
We have never been competitive with each other.
I think it's just, like, when we've gotten drunk and playing games and maybe take a little too far, but nothing crazy.
And then you just fake attack me and then we're
done. Yeah, and then we're done. So long, I'll keep it short for this one. Long story short, I met this guy. We were talking for quite a while. He was a really nice guy. I forgot about all of this stuff. Then his mom kicked him out of his house, and he was only like 15 too. So yeah, like crazy family. Mom kicked him out of the house because they were having issues. And so he didn't warn me, didn't tell me nothing. He lived in Rancho Cucamonga, took the train out to Santa Clarita and just surprised me. Called me on my cell phone. I was getting out of high school.
How'd you know this guy?
We met at the drag races. We met at the drag races. Super cute kid. Met at the drag races, and I convinced my dad that we knew each other from school. So then him and his cousin, because they were there.
Why were you hanging out at drag races at 15?
My dad would love to. That's what me and my dad did to bond.
Got it. Okay. All right.
His cousin's dad like worked at the drag races. So they were there. They get to go all the time. So I convinced my dad that I had known these two people. Okay. And then me and my sister, we hung out all day and we got to know each other.
Okay.
So then after that, we talked on the phone every day. All day. You know how it was. You stayed up till 3 a.m. on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then he calls me. It's like after months of talking on the phone, called me. It was like 6 months, if not longer later, calls me and is like, hey, you live in Santa Clarita, right? Like, oh, I'm on the street, blah blah blah. And I was like, what the crap? Like, so then he's like, oh, I wanted to see you, blah blah blah. So we met up. I was with friends already, so we met up and we were hanging out. And then he ends up telling me, of course, like, oh, my mom kicked me out, whatever. And then after a couple of days, he had told me, I just, you know, I'm leaving this day out to Vegas to go stay with my dad. And so he was so then the night before when he was leaving, I got into a huge argument with like my parents, and I just told them, I was like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, whatever. I was like, you know, having full meltdown, was so set on it. And he was like, are you kidding me? You're not coming with me. You're crazy. Whatever. And I told him, either like, I'm leaving tonight with you, or I'm leaving tonight by myself. Like, I don't care which one it is. Like, I have to leave. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. And so he's like, all right, I guess come with me. And so I packed my stuff and we literally walked. It was a 2-hour walk from my house to the train station. We waited for the train. We got to the train station like 1 a.m, waited for the train. The first one didn't come till like 5. Got on the train, took the train all the way out to Rancho Cucamonga. I mean, we had to get off one, get on another, whatever. I 15 years old, got all the way out to Rancho Cucamonga.
You could see a picture of me at 15.
It was crazy.
And like what I was going through, which was nothing.
Crazy, crazy. And then he packed up his stuff. My mom by this point had gone in my room. I'm not there. She's calling me. Where are you? Whatever. Like, you know, she knew we had an argument. So come home. Let's just talk. And I just something took over that day. I was just in this forward motion and just like didn't care about anything. And I was like, I mean, I knew I wasn't going forever because I literally packed a backpack and didn't take my dog with me. Like, if I took my dog with me, it would have been.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
If we leave our dogs behind, we're coming back.
Like, this, looking back at it, definitely had to be one of those, like, do I mean anything to you kind of thing, right? So, by that time, she let me know, like, the cops know who I'm with. Like, she had figured it all out by that point. And then, while we're like, he's in his mom's apartment collecting stuff, the cops, like, show up to the, like, right outside the apartment. And, like, we literally, like, scaled down the side, like got out, everything took off, got on the Greyhound all the way out to Vegas. And the cops were even checking the Greyhounds when we got there. I literally changed in like boy clothes and like we walked by, like got in the car and everything. And mind you, for some reason, dumbass number one and dumbass number two, we thought we were good as gold getting away with it. We get to his aunt's house or brother's house or whatever, and then I'm there for like 2 hours and the cops knock on the door and take me back to my mom. So, you know, like,
she has sent out a manhunt for you.
Yeah, she absolutely did.
You're 15.
Yeah. And I'm adopted. So that could have ruined a lot of things. And then after that, like, my mom had it set in her head that like I did it because I was in love and infatuated and under this trans. And I kept telling everybody I did it because I'm so sick of this. And like, you know, kept saying like how unhappy I was. But it was never that. And then that's the reason why I'm so grounded to this day. Because my mom kept saying I'm grounded for the rest of my life. So,
wow. You know.
And then it just became an awful situation after that. Because after that, I just wanted to move forward from it. And then a couple weeks later, this guy tried to show up at my house and he knocked on the door and wanted to like face to face apologize to my parents for what happened. And, you know, I answered the door and I was like, you have to go. Like, you have to go. Like, they're going to freak out. You have to go. Sure enough, my parents come around the corner and see him and they're already on the phone with the police, and the police get him before he gets down the street. And that's the first time he ever gets arrested, gets an arrest thing on his record.
He for like trespassing anything.
Or whatever, like on property or whatever. And then we have family and police too. And then this guy wouldn't stop messaging me. I mean, we kept texting, but you know, my mom like took my phone from me, all this stuff. Like it just kept going. And then my mom went to court and got a restraining order put on him for me. I wasn't allowed to go to court, wasn't allowed to speak my side, nothing.
That is intense.
Yeah, put restraining order on us from being allowed to speak or anything. And I remember her coming home and talking about it, and she straight up said that she lied to the judge and said that he was like trying to come in the house and all this stuff. She was like, I'm gonna do whatever I can to protect my home and my daughter, but in reality it was so traumatic. And he's so not good now. But it was so traumatizing. And then because of that whole situation, that's when I had to transfer junior highs, because that girl who tried to poison my dog that I told you about, yes, she went to school and lied and told everybody that I was pregnant. And that's why I was like not at school for a while. So it was like all these freaking crazy rumors going around. So then I had to transfer schools. And then I came back, and then the craziest thing happened. Never talked to this guy. Like, everything.
Your life is so much
crazy. I know.
You just do so much.
Well, listen to this. This is what was really crazy. So finally get out of it. 2 years have like gone by, right? I'm in theater. I'm making friends, like starting to move forward from this awful thing that has just clouded my life between school and home. And then I'm in theater, and my theater class, we do like a workshop with like five different theaters. And for some fucking reason, this guy is in theater too at his Rancho Cucamonga High School and shows up to my high school, and he's part of our workshop together. I haven't seen him in about 3 years. I walk into my theater one morning and he's standing right there, and my jaw just like hit the ground. I was like, we knew exactly who each other were, and we're like, what the crap? Trying to keep it a secret. Oh my God, I'm gonna see you at lunch. Let's talk about everything that's gone on. This is so crazy. The girl that tried to kill my dog, she saw him on campus, went to the principal's office and said, there's a guy on campus that has a restraining order against one of the students on campus. Told them everything. Called my mom down to the school.
They
pulled
God.
Me out of school, and then I was grounded, all door taken off ground.
You didn't do anything!
They thought we set it up. No matter what I did, no matter what I said, we set it up somehow to be in the same, yeah. It was, and so
what
I just,
in the world?
And my, literally the 5 years from like eighth grade to my senior year was literally a year, I like just couldn't get away from it, could not get away. And then because of that, I was always a liar. I was never trustworthy. So it was like so stressful, you know? So my number one goal was to get a job and move out.
Yeah. Like if they don't trust you, then great. They're not going to trust you. So it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah. Yep. And I love you, Mom, but she's still likes to bring it up to this day, you know? So she still likes to crack jokes and things like that. So it's like, it's just, you know, it's hard when you have something, a dark cloud that just like doesn't go away. It just hangs over you.
Yeah,
because
you didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
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 So all right.
That's my crazy story.
Before I move on to a lighter subject.
Yes.
Let's check to see if we have another sponsor for today. Sponsor.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm drunk, but I have only had a little bit.
You're drunk?
I had alcohol earlier by mistake, and then I sobered up by mistake. I mistakenly had alcohol earlier.
Yeah, pour some.
Are you going to drink it?
Yeah. Gracias. It's okay.
Sorry, Blaze. Whoops.
That's a wild story. You don't have to put it in, though, if you don't want
no,
to.
No, I'm going to keep it in.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Isn't that crazy?
One time, I wasn't at Kelly's when I said I would be because I was on my way home. I was the most innocent child in the entire world. And my parents still didn't trust me.
I think I got to a point to where I was getting in trouble for so many things that wasn't actually happening that I was just like,
whatever.
Live life.
Yeah.
But then I also thought, as long as I'm not out here having sex, doing drugs, or getting drunk, like, you know, I'm good. But then I ran away to Vegas.
Then you ran away to Vegas. All right. I want to ask you, I'm gonna bring us to a lighter place in the world. I want you to tell me your favorite moment from this week. I haven't seen you. I'm just curious. Do you even have a favorite moment?
It was I would need to look at the calendar. I like need to think about... What happened this week? Okay, let me think. Favorite moment from this week.
Yes.
When did you get back?
I got back Monday afternoon. Have you had any happy moments this week? Just any, do you have any moment where you were like, this food tastes really good? Okay, we got something.
It made me really happy this week when Suka for the first time was hanging out in my bedroom with me.
Oh, she has a Rottweiler that she adopted who had reactive issues with humans and dogs.
Yeah.
And was supposed to be put down
because
he was too aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, fuck you. And you adopted him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've been working tirelessly to make him a really well-balanced dog.
Yeah.
And he has spent most of his life outside.
Yeah.
And then
or in a kennel.
And so when he's at my house, my house was the first time he slept inside overnight.
Yeah.
Because I was
how he started sleeping inside.
Yes. And so now for the first time he hung out in your room.
Yeah.
And yes.
It was really nice.
So this is a dog where you can't just go up and pet. Even you had to teach him what pets were.
Yeah.
Like he had never had human contact before.
Right.
And so. Not in a positive way. Correct. So he was scared of people. He didn't know how to receive pets.
Yeah.
And
he didn't even know how to give eye contact.
So he hung out in your bedroom.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was really, really cool. And he was so happy. And I think that one of the coolest parts. The coolest part was when he walked in and he was just like sniffing. He kept looking at me and like was all happy butt wagging. But then he wanted to get on the bed and he just sat down and just like started whining at me. And I was like, okay. And he just jumped up and he was looking out the window and Stacy was laying down on the bed and he went right up to her face and was wiggling his butt and sniffing her. He was just like
so happy. Loving it.
Yeah. And just to see him happy, it really made me happy. I love moments like that.
Oh, that's cute. He's a cute dog.
Yeah, he is a cute
boy. It is really hard not to pet him.
He looks so much more derpy now too. He's not always like kind of like in that fixated kind of look or whatever, you know? His ears will be all cocky and like he'll just kind of looking at you and his eyes look a little cross-eyed. Like he's just so much more relaxed and
he's
so happy to see.
He's a cute dog.
Yeah, he is really cute.
I like it. I always have to remind myself to not pet him.
I know, it's hard. The other day I did it. Like I didn't even think about it. I took his leash off and it was just like, boo, boo, boo. And I was like, oh, sorry. But he didn't do anything. But I've noticed that too. In the moments where I do just go in kind of like unknowingly or just like, you know, it reads as confidence, you know, when you're just like, oh, touching you like I'm touching Louis, you know, like he doesn't think twice about it. But I touch him. I don't realize it. I touch him so much now. And it's crazy. Like I can pet him and everything. The other day he got a thorn stuck in his chest and I had to pull like a little thorn thing and I had to pull it out and he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's doing really well.
If I didn't know him, I've babysat him once for you. And if I didn't know he was an aggressive dog, I wouldn't have been hesitant with him at all.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm glad I was hesitant just for the safety of it because.
And now that his confidence too is building, so he's being more, he's reacting a lot less, but I'm starting to see it more as like, he has a lot of Rottweiler communication. A lot of it, I think, is just kind of scary because of the dog that he is. But the more I watch him and kind of allow him to react to a couple of things, like my confidence is built. So now I'm more testy than preventative, you know? Yeah. So then I'll kind of test him a little bit and just kind of watch how he reacts to something. And it's just bait. Like today, he got into Jeter's puppy dog food in the back. And I was driving and I had to pull over. Or no, Stacy looked in the back and was telling him to stop eating it. And you could just hear the like his growl just getting deeper and deeper and more snarly, you know? And so it's just like, hey, knock it off back there. You know, like I always say to him when he's just being like too extra and he just sat up and like looked around and, you know, and then he just sat up like this the whole time. Didn't try to go back to the food, nothing. So I think it's like, that's normal. It's normal for Rottweilers to do that. They are like that. They're yeah. more vocally and they show their teeth more, you know, like.
Yeah.
So
I had a Rott once. We had one Rott growing up and I feel like I was so young.
Yeah.
But I don't remember everything. I just remember her being my best friend.
But a lot of them aren't like that either. Like the two Rotties that we had growing up, one of them was the most loving, sweet girl. And the other one, like she was a sweet girl, but she had her things about her. She didn't like strangers. Mm-hmm. She didn't like kids. Like she had her things about her.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I think it's more common for a Rottweiler to be more vocal and stuff like
How
that.
How old
you
know? Is Suka?
I would say he's anywhere between 3 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's not too old. But for a Rottie, they live till like 10. So he's like halfway.
How long do pit bulls live?
About 10, 11. Big dogs don't live that long.
You got about 5 to 6 more years, buddy.
Babies.
5, 6 more years.
I don't know. I think he's going to live a long time.
We always say Blaze is my biggest asshole. He's just like, he's an asshole of a dog. And I'm like, he's going to outlive all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to outlive Snoop for sure. Snoop is perfect.
Him and Louie will bury us.
They will. They're going to live forever, and they're both just buttheads and best friends.
What was your favorite part of this week?
Oh, my favorite part of this week. What are we counting the start date of? Is it Monday?
Since you left Thursday.
Oh, well, I've had a lot of fun. I went to... I mean, I went to a musical festival and I saw a lot of like great performers. I saw Meg Thee Stallion.
I was gonna go, you did?
You were watching my dogs because we need to plan a trip, Joy.
Yeah,
you
I know.
And me. We just my cousin Andrew can watch my dogs.
Yeah,
and then you just have to trust.
Stacey and Dylan can figure out
your three.
Yeah,
four. There's four of you. Have four.
Yeah, I might give Louis to my sister Anna. That way, he's just safe and out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, he's my prized possession.
Yes. That's I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand. When you watch my dogs and you have all your dogs here, we send little dog away.
Yeah, just, exactly.
Just that.
Prized possession.
Yes. I'm going to restart my camera real quick because it's about to die. Okay, sorry. My thing was overheating. So my favorite part of the week. Okay, so we just discussed it because we just continue talking. But I went and saw a bunch of really great performers, Meg Thee Stallion, Billie Eilish. I had so much fun at the festival. But I think one of my favorite things was coming because it was so long and we were on our feet and it was so hot and we were tired that my favorite thing was coming home and then like just relaxing and just like
you've been doing
breathing.
So much this year.
I know. We're
who was your favorite artist to see?
Meg Thee Stallion.
Was it?
She is a performer. She gave it I wanted to bottle her energy and drink it.
That is awesome.
Like this what she just gives off, you're just like yes, everything she's doing, you're just going yes please continue. I'm not worthy to be in your presence.
How long do they perform for?
It depends on the set, but like out it's like smaller bands are like half hour to 45. Big names are like an hour to an hour and a half.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So you get like a full
that's
thing.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think
that's
Meg's cool. was more than a little over than an hour. I think Billie Eilish's was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So like it's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, but like I think my favorite thing was just coming home and relaxing and cuddling.
Every time you like go and come, you have the same energy. You're just going. This was the first time I've seen you come home and you just kind of like went on the floor. And I was like, oh, she is tired.
I am exhausted.
Yeah.
So October and November and December, we've decided to chill. We have nothing major planned.
Is this Hawaii trip going to be more like chill vacation, or do you guys have things planned?
We have things planned, but it's just us. We were supposed to be going for my cousin's wedding, but it got postponed, but all of our stuff was already booked and a lot of it was non-refundable.
Oh,
so we're just going, her and I, and we're just chilling, and I'm still gonna do work, but like it's nothing crazy.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be an actual vacation. I'm still gonna work like every morning, but that's fine. And then when we come home, we have like little weekend things planned. Like we have a couple weddings, but it's just like on a weekend, quick things. and nothing too crazy. And we've decided to chill until spring. And then we're going to travel a bunch because then she starts in-person school in fall.
Oh, wow.
So we won't be able to travel anymore.
Wait, in fall, when?
Of 2022.
Oh, I was going to say.
Hello. No, we're already in fall. So yeah. Yes, we're taking the rest of the year to chill.
Got it.
And then spring, we're going to go hard until the fall.
Okay, got
and
it.
And then hopefully COVID is more chill by then again. Or just, it's never going to go away.
Yeah, no, it's going to be like the flu. It's going to be here.
It's just, but it just exists.
Yeah, hopefully life can move forward a little yes. bit more yes. in fall.
All right, well, that's it. That's all we had.
That was fun.
Yes, have lots of races in you. You're black, so people leave her alone. You were a rebel child. I was not. You ran away. You ended up in Vegas at 15. I went to Kelly Six's house. And then your favorite moment was your dog. Mine was coming home and relaxing.
Yes.
Then also seeing Meg the Stallion. All right. Thanks for joining me. This Moscow Mule is spicy.
Cheers.
Cheers. We'll see you next week or in 2 weeks. I'll see you in 2 weeks with, I think, I don't know who my guest is, but you're going to love him. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rachel Uncensored, the only place on the internet where you can find the uncensored version of me, Rachel Ballinger. I hope you enjoyed. If you did, please like, subscribe, or follow, or do whatever this platform tells you to do so that you can get notified every time I post a new episode. Love ya!
Hi, listeners. This is Amy from the production team at Realm. Remember the royal wedding? Kind of hard to forget with all those hats, right? Well, what if there was a story about everyone else at the wedding? The maids, the bodyguards, the hat makers? All that royal wedding magic doesn't come from nowhere, but these other characters don't get enough time in the spotlight, in our humble opinion. So, we created a different type of royal wedding show, perfect for fans of Love Actually. Think vignettes. All of London is abuzz with anticipation of the royal wedding, from the New York paparazzi flown in to catch the money shots, to the maids at Buckingham Palace. And every one of them has their own chance at true love. But when the Princess Bride and her maid of honor go missing, will love prevail? Royally Yours is a fun, flirty, and romantic show that intertwines five love stories that will sweep you off your feet. Be sure to listen and subscribe to Royally Yours wherever you get your podcasts, or learn more at realm.fm.